Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
But look, first this morning, I last spoke to actor and writer Stephen Jones when his series Northern Lights was on television. And the good news is that he's writing series two. Stephen has also acted in Love Hate, Ripper Street and his own play From Eden. This summer, he's touring a play called Falling to Earth, My Summer with Bowie by Eugene O'Brien. And he'll be in the Saipan movie when that comes out later this year. All very, very busy for a man who very young suffered a stroke just last summer. Stephen Jones, good morning to you.
Morning, Miriam. Nice to see you and talk to you again.
Yeah, delighted to see you looking so well. But look, and I will be talking about the new play and about Northern Lights and about Saipan. But first, can we talk about last July the 22nd? You were coming from the gym. What was your general health like up to that?
Yeah, before then, I would have considered myself reasonably healthy. You know, probably too many calls to Domino's Pizza or the Chipper for someone's liking. But in general, healthy, never really been in hospital, never really been sick. Had done stuff like climbed Kilimanjaro and walked the Camino and was kind of outdoorsy, you know.
Very outdoorsy.
So, yeah, and it was a Monday in July. I was 38 at the time and kind of coming out of the gym, walking home from a gym. And I live in the city centre here in Dublin, and I just crossing over the Liffey, and I just felt a jolt down my left side, and really strange, obviously, and I was trying not to panic. So I went into a pub to kind of ask for help or to say I might need help, and it went away. I went back to my apartment, and about half an hour later, the same thing happened again. So I rang an ambulance, and you know, just was obviously totally unsure as to why it was happening, what was happening. So went up to James's Hospital in the ambulance.
What did you think was happening to you? Did you have any idea?
No, I had no clue. Obviously confused and panicked and scared. I can remember everything very clearly, but there's also an element that it's a bit of a blur in terms of what I actually felt. It was only a few weeks later, and I was chatting to a friend, and they were like, did you feel like you had a near-death experience? And I said, I don't think I literally was going to die, but there was a moment where I was going, is this it? Like, it did cross my mind. I remember that moment outside, I'm waiting outside my apartment for the ambulance. So, yeah, a lot of confusion and a lot of panic, yeah.
And did you have pins and needles? Did it impact one side of your body? Was your speech affected at that stage, or was it just a jolt?
No, it was just a jolt all down the left. At one moment, I did feel my lip go numb. It was all on the left side, all down the left arm and left leg. It's kind of a cross between pins and needles and total numbness, you know. It just a jolt is the only word I have for it,
yeah,
you know.
It's good.
You know, now, as soon as I was taken in, I got an aspirin. Anything that could resemble stroke-like symptoms, they give you an aspirin to thin the blood, and it kind of went away, which was good. Apart from a little bit in my thumb, and I went in for CT angiogram and different tests then over the next few days.
And of course, when you got into James's and they started doing tests, did you do what you were told not to do? Did you start Googling your symptoms?
Yes, of course. Yeah, of course. And then I even when a few days. So what happened was CT angiogram came back. That there was nothing showing up, but they wanted to be sure, so they were going to book me in for an MRI the next day. And that's when it came back that I'd had an ischemic stroke, and on the smaller side, thankfully as well. Mm. But because they had said it was small, I kind of got confused and I was Googling and I thought I'd had what they call a mini stroke. You know.
Yeah.
So that was wrong. So I ended up just, you know, compiling a big list of questions anytime the doctor was coming around to make sure, you know, and they were great and obviously took time to explain everything and answer any question I had.
So in other words, it was a proper stroke, a small one,
yeah,
but a proper stroke, not a mini one.
Yeah. And thankfully, even from the moment I had it, apart from that feeling, my neurologically, I was OK. Speech wasn't affected. Thankfully, I was kind of as I am now.
Yeah, and you seem perfect now. Like, do you have any... I'll talk about the mental aspect in a moment, you know, about worry, but do you have anything physically that has remained?
Again, a tiny bit of sensation on some days when I press into my thumb and a little bit of my palm on my left hand, but nothing that affects the movement or the power. And it seems to be on some days I don't notice it at all. Mm-hmm. The odd time I've kind of felt a bit lightheaded at times doing things, which could be related and might not be related at all. Yeah. I'm sure I had those moments plenty of times before this ever happened. And that's also another thing I should say is that I, at the moment, have no specific cause for why it happened, which can be a good thing and a bad thing, you know, as well. So I'm not necessarily on the lookout for anything specific. If something happens, I go, it could be related or it might not be related at all.
Yeah, probably, hopefully isn't.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Like, I suppose there's the mental aspect as well. Like, you were 38.
Yeah.
We often associate strokes with older people.
Yeah.
So do you find yourself, did you find it hard to come to terms with the fact, I had a stroke, I'm 38?
Yeah, I mean, well, the word is terrifying for anybody. But for a younger person, it is, why has this happened to me? Will it happen again? What does this mean for my life expectancy? Yeah, there's a lot of things that go with it, you know, just with that term. So, yeah, there was a long period of time where I felt, you know, it's unfair. Why has it happened to me? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. Mm. All of those things, yeah.
And you went straight back to work very soon after, didn't you? Did you tell people on set what had happened to you?
Yeah, I did, actually. So I was in the hospital. I was there in James's for about a week. Not because I need, it was just for waiting for tests, and you know yourself. So I was in the hospital while a phone call from my agent came through to say that I'd got an offer to be in the movie Saipan. And it's the best news an actor can get, the phone call, because you get so many rejections that the phone call to say, yeah, you've got the part. but I remember I was bursting into tears when I got off the phone, because I was just thinking, am I going to be able to do this? Will I be able to act again? And you're such in such a state of confusion. Your world is just falling apart, you know. And but, you know, look, I have great family and friends, and they were reassuring me, and my agent was great in reassuring me. And, so 3 weeks after I had the stroke, I was up in Belfast filming, and I knew a lot of the actors from before. And you build a bond anyway while you're filming, and a couple of days in, I let them know, and I have to say they were brilliant, you know. Mm. Just really supportive and really understanding, and just a great crew to have a chat with, and they helped me get through it and supported me. So that particular movie, much like the real event, I'm sure will be quite divisive.
Yeah.
But it'll be always be a special one for me based on the experience of filming.
Yeah, that's a lovely memory. And the Irish Heart Foundation, I know you want to say, they've been great, haven't they?
Yeah, brilliant. They, you know, give you a lot of information, put me into like a WhatsApp group, Young Stroke Survivors Network, and I'm in there chatting with people every day. They also run courses, so I'd finished a 6-week mindfulness course. I'm in the middle of doing one called A Hero's Journey, and it's just built around, you know, getting towards a place of acceptance, I guess, and your story. And I think what it does is it just lets you know that you're not on your own with this. Going back to what you said earlier on about being a young person who's had a stroke, you kind of feel like, well, I must be the only one, you know, and you find that you're not. And you find that every stroke is different and unique, but at the same time, we might not be in the exact same boat, but we're certainly on the same river and we're going in the same direction. So it's one thing to say as well is that with stroke, it's not speaking for everybody, but so many people who've had a stroke that I've talked to in the last few months, a lot of them say the same thing, and it's that it's very, very hard for people in their life to fully comprehend and understand what they're going through, especially if they don't have physical signs or aren't affected physically. And I say, you know, I can understand that because it's really hard for me to articulate what's going on mentally and emotionally with this. So how can someone possibly begin to understand, you know?
Yeah, so interesting.
So, yeah.
I think they say, is it this correct? And is this the advice you've been given that you shouldn't worry about it all the time? That I know that's really difficult to do, but like a lot of people, maybe you've had a stroke quite young, you constantly worry maybe you'll have another one. But they do say, don't they? Is that the advice when you try to not think like that?
Yeah, I mean, like that's my doctors have always been like, just try and get on with your life, you know? And obviously easier said than done when something happens to you. But, you know, time does that, and knowledge is power, and you just, you know, you take your medication, you do whatever you can. So whether it's going to counselling or getting involved in the Irish Heart Foundation courses that they offer, any little step you could take, you know, towards a more positive attitude towards it. And, you know, in my case, I try and hold on to the idea that, you know, a little bit of adversity in life can be a privilege, actually, and it can change your mindset. So that's where I'm at now, 8 or 9 months on, just trying to see how I can possibly take the positives from this that's happened. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, feeling anxious about it. It doesn't mean that I'm not upset on certain days. It doesn't mean that I take it lightly. It's just, you know, I can either sit in that or I can try and get on with my life, you know.
Which is so great. Now, Saipan, since it's been such a happy part of this story, what character are you playing in it?
Well, I play a character called Liam. So he's kind of a made-up character. A lot of the other guys are playing, you know, real-life names. Yeah. So I'm kind of an amalgamation, I guess, of, you know, several different people. So I'm one of the coaching staff. So Steve Coogan plays Mick McCarthy and Peter McDonald plays Mick Byrne. And then you have me as Liam, and we're kind of the three, you know, on the bench, if you like.
And it's lovely because you're a big soccer fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I played Roy Keane, or Keno, in the comedy musical Keno. And there was another actor on set, Jamie Beamish, and he'd played Keno in the musical as well. And then obviously Anna Hardwick playing Roy Keane in the movie. So we were joking that we had three Kenos on set. And so I would have been raging not to be involved in it, you know, anyway. So, yeah.
Now, tell me about this play, Falling to Earth, Offaly and Bowie and a character called Scott Kelly. What's it about?
Well, yeah, so it's about this guy. It's a one-man show, Scott Kelly from Offaly, who is kind of taking care of his dad. There's only the two of them, and it's a you know, fractious kind of relationship. And he's in and out of work. His Uncle Tony gets him the odd gig working as security. Yeah. And there's a big recording studio in the Midlands in Ireland, and lots of famous people have actually recorded in this real place. And in our story, he gets a job filling in one day, and it turns out that it's his hero. David Bowie is in there making his final album, and he just takes a shine to Scott because he's so affable and kind of a bit, you know, he's not all there. So they kind of form this little friendship, and this summer changes Scott's life. It gives him a new perspective on things, and it turns him really from Scott Kelly to Sean Kelly. It's a summer that makes a man out of him through meeting his hero. So it's how, but it's really about this guy trying to find out who he is, you know.
It sounds great. How did you work in the Offaly accent? I mean, did Eugene offer any guidance? Did he tell you to watch Pure Mule?
Yeah, and I was a big fan of Pure Mule anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I got Eugene to, because, you know, I've obviously done a lot of accents over the years, and it's one thing I'm quite good at, but you want to try and get as close to the actual place as you can. So I got him to do WhatsApp recordings for me of certain sounds, and I went down to Offaly and spent a Sunday, you know, in a few pubs and different things, just for the fun of it, you know. But yeah, I mean, we had a few people from Eugene's hometown in, and they, you know, they were convinced enough, I think. You know,
yeah, look, you're great at accents. And the great thing is you're writing series 2 of Northern Lights, aren't you?
Yeah, we have 4 of the 6 episodes written. So we'd love to film it later this year. It's just getting the final bit of funding in place. And it's because it's coming from so many different countries and different. So that's just the reality of making television nowadays, you know.
Have you a good bit of it funded?
Yeah, I think we're in and around 70-75%, you know, something like that. So hopefully we can, you know, I'm not working on it. The producers are working on it.
Yeah, that's their job, to get the money.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, I spoke to her recently, Elva Trill, who played Anya in series 1. She's expecting a baby.
Yeah.
So will she be involved?
Oh, well, if we make it 100%, she has to be. Yeah, it's her story as much as my character's. I talked to her quite a lot. I was texting her to say congratulations when she announced the news on Instagram. And before she even said thank you, she was like, by the way, as soon
I'm free.
I'm ready to go a day after this baby's born.
I love her.
Take it easy.
Yeah, I love her.
Oh, she's great.
Now, listen, you got engaged since the last time we met. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
And your fiance is French?
Yeah, she's from France. And she's lived here quite a long time, 8 or 9 years now. And tremendously supportive through all this, and yeah, we were in Paris recently and the opportunity came up where I was able to, she was able to pick out her own ring, but I was still able to surprise her on the same weekend. A bit of acting work involved. A story for another day.
No better man.
Yeah, story for a play. thankfully, she said yes. And but we're in no rush, you know, to get married. So it'll be a couple of years, I guess.
Now, I told you earlier you want to mention your Uncle John, don't you, Stephen?
Yeah, quite briefly. My Uncle John, he's my dad's brother, is in his final hours, I guess, up in Our Lady's Hospice in Harold's Cross. And I just want to thank all the staff up there who've been brilliant with him. And that's it, just to mention him, that, you know, he's my uncle, one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And just, I love you, Johnny. I just want to say that.
Oh, that's so lovely. And the staff up there, they are amazing, aren't
they? Yeah, it's a lovely facility. I've never been in it before. Mm. And they just care. And I can see with my dad and my uncles and the rest of my granddad and the rest of my family, how much attention they pay to Johnny and how considerate they are in everything they do. It means the world to the family, you know.
Well, we're all thinking of Johnny now.
Thanks.
And your dad. And Stephen, thanks so much for coming in. You look absolutely so healthy.
Thanks.
I'm sure you're going to live for another 100 years. And congrats to you and your fiance. Falling to Earth, My Summer with Bowie by the great Eugene O'Brien is in theatres around Ireland, including the Everyman, the Lyric, the Theatre Royal and the Civic Theatre from the 12th of May through to the 21st of June. All the details are on verdant.ie. And for more on the Irish Heart Foundation, which I know has been so great to you, Stephen, anyone can go on irishheart.ie. Thanks a million, Stephen.
Cheers. Thank you.
We'll take a break.